In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, October 20th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Proverbs 25:22. Nagma Abedini, the wife of Saeed Abedini, the Iranian-American pastor who's been imprisoned in an Iranian jail since 2012, has been learning the meaning of these words after the most virulent attacks against her and her family, which have come from other Christians. The Christian Post reports that the accusations have ranged from her not being educated, not being a good mother for traveling so much, to criticizing even the clothes she wears. Yet she responded to all of these with a soft answer posted via her Facebook status, saying, quote, "Recently the Lord has been speaking to me through the life of Moses, that I should use the attacks to keep me humble, that I should respond as Moses responded, to intercede and ask the Lord to forgive them and not to hold it against them, to have a heart of compassion for them instead of a heart of bitterness, and to truly know that they do not know what they are doing." We see here that Moses' response to attacks on himself was to intercede for those attacking him. Because of his response and humility, we see the Lord stepping in and defending him. Unquote. The words in Ephesians 6:12-13 speak encouragement to every Christian who faces opposition, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. What to do when the groom bows out on the wedding? This bride and her family decided not to let the $35,000 reception go to waste. Instead, they invited homeless people from Sacramento to a beautiful reception at the Citizen Hotel, one of the city's finest venues. According to The Guardian, around 90 homeless people showed up for the feast of a lifetime. Amazon is suing over 1,000 people after a complaint from a Seattle court on Friday. The lawsuit is targeting users from 5RR.com who have been paid up to $5 for false reviews of Amazon products. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A football coach from Bremerton, Washington, fears God rather than man, and he's standing by that. A month ago, Coach Joe Sparks was ordered to stop leading his team in prayers under the protest that he was not observing the so-called separation of church and state. On Friday, Joe demonstrated the perfect love that casts out all fear by carrying on the 7-year tradition of praying with the players before a game. In a report from KIRO Television, Joe shared the feelings he had when not only his team, but the opposing team gathered around him to kneel for prayer.
I got my eyes closed and I feel all these people around me. I'm like, God, I hope those aren't kids. I'm sitting there and I'm just going, God, thank you for this opportunity. And, you know, if this is the last time I step on the field with these guys.
She came out strong at the top of the Democrat debate, but Hillary's ratings have not risen or fallen. Clinton stands at 45% in the polls. Bernie Sanders, the socialist senator, is at 29%, and Vice President Joe Biden trails behind at 18%. The Prime Minister's office in the UK has announced that all passports of those under 18 and at risk for joining ISIS will be revoked. The government will be instituting other measures as part of a counter-terror strategy. Another shooting rampage in Palestine killed an Israeli soldier and wounded 10 others on Sunday. The shooting comes in the wake of increased violence in Palestine. It has not been confirmed that the shooting was in connection with the tension between Palestinians and Israelis. He used to think he was a god until God made him a son. Demas Salaberrios shared the amazing story of his conversion in his recent book, Street God. Formerly a drug lord in Bronx, New York, Demas says that his transformation began when he experienced a particularly distressing period of darkness. His girlfriend took him into her mother's house so that her mother and friends could pray for him. Salaberius is now a co-pastor of the Infinity Bible Church in New York City's Bronx Borough and president of Concerts of Prayer, Greater New York. His story rings true with the words in Matthew 19:26, "Nothing is impossible with God." Galatians 4:7-8 says, "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods." An unidentified Detroit pastor shot an attacker armed with a brick and a hammer who entered the church on Sunday. The attacker, Deontay Smith, was pronounced dead after the pastor quickly exercised his Second Amendment rights. The civil government in Indonesia has shut down 10 churches after they were burnt down last month by Muslim extremists. Government officials gave in to the demands of local Muslims and said that the churches are now considered illegal. Proverbs 29:25 says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." And that's the Worldview on this Tuesday, October 20th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Josh McDowell joining me in just a second. But friends, first, we are in the midst of the greatest apostasy in the history of the Christian world. That's right, the millennial generation is walking away from the faith. 18% attending church on a regular basis. That's down from 55% for the silent generation. A big, big drop. That's a 75% drop in just a couple of, 40, 50 years. We are certainly seeing the fruits of Charles Darwin coming to pass right before us. 29% of millennials claim no religion. That's 21% for the Gen Xers, 16% for the boomers, and 9% for the silent generation. That according to an article that just came out for the Atlantic magazine. This is Us, Portrait of a Changing America. So way, way, way more no religions for millennials. As for the silence, I think that's a factor of 350% rise in all-out atheism or all-out non-participation in any religion whatsoever for the millennials. And as I said, only 18% regular church attendance. Church attendance falling off big time for the millennial generation, down from 55% for the silent generation. And Charles Darwin has been around now for, 150 years? Well, the seeds are finally yielding fruit after all this time. I wrote my book, Apostate, about 9 months ago. Encourage you to get a copy of it. But I talk about the roots of the modern-day apostasy. Yeah, we've seen this thing metastasize here in just the last 15 years or so. So it's coming to fruition now. You plant the seeds of apostasy, of atheism, a naturalistic, materialistic worldview 150 years ago. It takes a while. This kind of thing takes a while to yield a crop. And they've yielded a crop with the millennial generation, my friends. Now, 68% of millennials support same-sex marriage. That's up from 55% for the Gen Xers, 48% for boomers, and 38% for the silent generation. So almost twice for millennials. 68% support same-sex marriage. It's bound to go up with the mosaics. And Jeremy Bentham's been around for 200 years, since the 1790s. It took 200 years to finally get the whole Western world to go for same-sex marriage, at least for the millennials. See, it takes a long time. You got to plant those seeds, early on. And they eventually yield tremendous fruit. And that's what's happened for the millennial generation. We're in the midst of a significant apostasy. And my question is, does homeschooling make a difference? Does child evangelism make a difference? Does attending Sunday school make a difference? Does attending a decent church make a difference? Does attending a worldview seminar make a difference? Well, those are the questions we're asking with the Gen2Survey.com. Gen2Survey.com. We encourage anybody who's 18 to 38 years of age to sign up for the Gen2Survey.com. You get an opportunity to win an iPad Mini if you'd like to participate in the survey. Gen2Survey.com if you're 18 to 38 years of age. And we're just simply asking the question, what makes a difference? Does anything make a difference for the millennial generation? Will there be anybody salvaged in the greatest apostasy ever since Jesus Christ came? Will there be anybody salvaged in the great apostasy of the West? Forget about the political battles. Forget about the political battles if you're losing the cultural battles. And forget about the cultural battles if you lose the faith battle. Kind of the way it works. I think we're learning this thing. We're learning that if you lose the millennial generation from the faith, you will lose the culture. If you lose the culture, there's no sense in fighting political battles if you're losing the other battles. Okay, we're in the very midst of the most important battles of all. Now, understand, of course, that God is sovereign over all these things. But humans are responsible, too, and we like to identify the things that matter in the apologetic debate and the evangelistic campaigns and the discipleship of the next generation. All that matters. All that really, really matters. And there are men in the trenches who are dealing with the evangelistic outreach, getting the faith into the millennial generation. And in a moment, friends, Josh McDowell, he's been at it for a long time, and he's going to be with me. He's going to join me. He's got 15 minutes to share with the Generations Radio audience, give us a little wisdom on how to reach the millennial generation with the faith. Be back in just a moment with Josh McDowell on this program. This is Kevin Swanson.
What is the future of our religious liberties in America? How should Christians respond to an increasingly hostile environment? What can we do to defend our diminishing freedoms while we still can? Come to the Freedom 2015 National Religious Liberties Conference, November 6 and 7 in Des Moines, Iowa, to hear the stories of targeted Christians like Dick and Betty Odegaard and get equipped on how to respond when the government comes knocking on your door. Go to freedom2015.org while summer registration prices are still available. That's freedom2015.org.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And we have a heart for the next generation. That's why we call this program Generations. And we are certainly in a very, very difficult time today where we're seeing an 18% church attendance rate for millennials, down from 55% for the silent generation. And everybody's saying the millennial generation is not going to sustain the faith as previous generations did. So a huge concern here on the Generations Broadcast. And many of you know we do the Gen2Survey.com. Order to find out what's happening with millennials. Will they stay with the faith? Will they raise their kids in the faith? What's happening with the youth in America? And nobody is more plugged into the state of the youth in America than Josh McDowell. He has crisscrossed the nation dozens of times, speaking to hundreds of college events, youth events. In fact, my wife heard him speak in the early 1980s, back in her getting saved days at the University of Utah. So he now joins me on the Generations Broadcast. He's the co-author or the author of 115 books, and a most recent book I'd point you to, Undaunted, a biography on his own life. Josh, welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us today.
Well, Kevin, it is always good to be with you, guy.
I'm so happy that you have worked with youth for so many years. And you're still out there. You're still speaking. You're still plugging away for the faith and evangelizing and discipling the nations. Praise God for your ministry, brother.
Boy, you're making me feel old.
Well, you've been around a while. And you've done a lot of good things.
You don't have to grow up. You got to get old, but you don't have to grow up.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about the youth. In America, back in the 1970s, the Jesus movement, the college ministries, something happened back then. It was good. It was a good thing. God did something back in the 70s. What was it?
He's still doing great things today. But you have to understand, people change when culture changes. Mm-hmm. When you have a cultural shift, it affects people. It affects their desires, their choices, everything. Mm. And probably the biggest switch we've seen from the 70s to now, in the 70s, everybody was looking at the problems of the world. Now they're looking at their own problems.
Okay.
Instead of there's problems of the world we got to resolve, it's turned to, I have a problem that I need to deal with.
Hmm.
That's probably one of the basic changes that you'll see in young people today. And then another change is this. This is huge. Is that they'll feel... That was a truck just started. They will feel that truth before was discovered. It was external, objective, you discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, truth is internal and subjective. You create truth.
Mm.
For most people, 25, 35 and older, truth you discover it. For those younger, truth is created. All truth is personal opinion, personal perspective. This is where you get the phrase, well, it might be true for you, but it's not true for me. Hmm. You have your truth, I have my truth. So who are you to judge me? That's only your truth. Hmm. You need to let me discover my truth, what is right and wrong for me, and live it out unhindered. And those are two very significant changes that have consequences.
Do they shirk away from dogmatism or anybody who wants to say, hey, there is an absolute, this is the absolute? Is that a turnoff to the millennials?
Well, yes, because if all truth is personal, then you can't judge me with your truth. Because that's only true for you. So yes, dogmatic statements or anything that would lead to division. That's why many churches that have their denomination in their church, like First Baptist Church, such and such Assembly of God Church, in today's culture, and it's not because of any problem within the church, but it's looked at as being divisive. And anything that is divisive in today's culture is sinful. Because basically it's asserting an authoritative statement that if you don't believe this, then you are wrong or others are wrong. And when all truth is personal, then that is a major sin in culture.
At some point, somebody's got to stand up and say child molestation is just plain wrong, or what the Hitler and the Nazis did to the Jews in the 1930s and 40s was just plain wrong. At some point, somebody needs to stand up and say there is such a thing as right and wrong. And you would think that that would attract some.
Well, it does to a certain degree. You see, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, even into the 80s, students would say the Holocaust is wrong.
Yeah.
Now, talk to a lot of history professors. Students now have the problem, well, who are you to judge them?
Wow.
Who are you to determine who is right or wrong? Because you have your truth and they have their truth. And so that is very difficult. This is why it's so important, Kevin, that that the statements we make about Jesus, the Bible, and everything is backed up by our life. It is so key when Jesus said, you will know they are my disciples by the way they love one another.
Amen.
If they don't see a difference in our lives, they will not put up with our statements about Jesus is the only way. He is the Son of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Yeah. But if they see things in your life and my life that they desire, they're much more prone to listen to you.
Josh, and I think that's one reason why guys like me are trying to invite people into my house more. I've got a Shepherd Center. I've got seven or eight young men in my home. They come to my home, they eat at my table, they stay overnight downstairs in the bedrooms, and I want them to see my life. They're looking for authenticity. They're sick of hypocrisy. The church has been so filled with hypocrisy. I think you're right. I think it's time that disciples disciple in relationship, and they've got that, you know, the truth has got to set us free. The truth has got to be manifest in our lives. It just has to incarnate itself.
Yeah. This is why I basically always try to share my testimony first.
Yes.
Which incorporates the gospel and then the gospel.
Yes.
I want to get their attention by the fact that it works.
Yes.
You see, for older people, if it is true, it will work. For younger people, because of their stand on truth, if it works, it's true. Now, the difference here is this. Say a pastor, a deacon, an elder makes a decision to commit sexual immorality. You and I would look at that and say, he is not living the truth.
Yeah.
Why? Because to us, if it is true, it will work. It's not working. Is it a problem with truth? No. They're not living it. Young people will look at that pastor, that deacon, elder, and say, it's not true. What? Whatever he teaches. Why? It doesn't work.
Wow.
Now, hypocrisy used to reflect upon the person. Now hypocrisy reflects upon the truth.
Wow.
And that is probably the major, greatest difference between adults and youth. Adults, if it is true, it will work. Youth, if it works, it is true. 78% of evangelical fundamental born-again Christian young people say the only way you can know something is true, not if Jesus taught it, not if it's in the Bible, no, if it works.
Hmm. Well, and Jesus did say you'll know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When he said, you better live it if you're going to speak it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, your biography, I think it's the timing on the release of your biography and the documentary film that came out with it, critical, really critical, because I can now see that people can look not just at your message, but they look at your life and the transforming power of the gospel in your life.
If they can't see that, forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is brought right down to the home of parenting. When I see something I needed to correct in one of my three daughters and my son, maybe an attitude, a behavior, a belief, I'd always start by asking three questions. Son, do you know that I love you? Well, yeah, Dad. Son, do you know that I love your mother? Yeah. Son, when you get married, in marriage and family and children and love and sex, do you want with your wife and your children what I have with your mother and have with you kids? Yeah, Dad. Then, son, don't do that. That can rob you of that opportunity. This is why the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, those three questions were all relational, not content-oriented. And I learned that I need, with my children, I need to first elevate the relationship and then deal with a problem in the context of the relationship. That's when you see lives changed.
Let's talk about the internet for a moment. A couple of years ago, you came out and said the internet has become practically an enemy to the faith. And by the way, just last weekend...
No, the internet is not an enemy to the faith.
Okay, but...
I love the... No, what I'm saying is this. The internet's wonderful. How can you worship God without an iPad? But with every positive, there's a negative.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet has gotten so big, so influential, that it's leveled the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like that. Most Christians don't. You say, what do you mean? 15, 18, 20 years ago, atheists, agnostics that hate everything that you and I stand for had very little access to our children until maybe the last couple of years in university. Now, it's leveled the playing field. It's all just one click away. Atheists, agnostics have the same level as a pastor, youth pastor has to kids. And as a result, the whole question of intellectual feasibility, of truth, of authenticity, everything is going younger and younger and younger.
Hmm.
The questions I used to hear from somebody in the last couple of years of university about the truth of Jesus, the Bible, the resurrection, creation, whatever, now you're hearing from kids 11, 12, 13 years old. Why? The internet is taking it younger and younger and younger. And what I say here, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we are being, we're being driven to our knees and to provide our kids with answers. I think we need to.
Mm-hmm.
But will the church rise up fast enough to do it? I don't know.
Do you think the million opinions shared on the internet would lend any force to the relativistic age? So each opinion is seen as equal weight?
Back when Al Gore invented the internet, everybody was saying how such abundance of information and data would lead to certainty. I'm sitting there, I would say, no, it'll lead to pervasive skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was a prophet. We've never lived a more skeptical society. There is such an abundance of data. The average child takes into their brain the equivalent of data in 8,160 songs every 24 hours. It's incredible. And what has happened is, instead of leading to certainty and truth, it's led to tremendous skepticism. If you go with me and talk with an elementary, middle school, high school young person, and you need to make a dogmatic truth statement, like Jesus is the only way, he was raised from the dead in the third day, period, the Bible is the word of God, you'll hear things like this, right from Christians. How do you know that's true? There's so much out there. What, tomorrow they could discover something that would be refuted all.
Hmm.
And so it's added to that relativism, and you had a good insight there, Kevin.
Hmm.
it's multiplied that in a tremendous way.
Hmm. That's why I think we have to address it by constantly bringing people back into relationship and bring them back under discipleship, the walk along, talk along, the kind of thing that Jesus did with his 12 disciples.
Yep.
Yeah.
And boy, we better start out by loving our wives,
Amen.
Loving our children,
Amen.
And being faithful to being a true follower of Jesus.
Give us some positive news. What do you think are the healthiest aspects of Christian ministries and churches out there today?
I think one of the most positive aspects, more are starting to share the gospel in the context of stories, of illustrations, because that is what always has, but now more than ever communicates.
Yeah.
This is why my entire life I've done it. I put everything that I teach within the context of a story and usually my own testimony. So people can see truth as it's lived out.
Yeah.
And I think many churches' youth programs are doing an excellent, excellent job at that.
That's wonderful. Do you have high expectations of the next generation? Do you see that there's a rising youth that will take up the mantle and continue these ministries and lead the church into the next millennium?
Absolutely. But here, it won't happen if the church doesn't change. And will the church change?
Where does it need to change?
Right now, such a huge percentage are walking away from the church. Not so much walking away from their faith, walking away from the church within 18 months of high school graduation.
Yeah.
And now it's going to start shifting to about between 11 and 12 years old, 6th and 7th grade. Already, kids are starting to walk away.
Hmm.
And it's because of the internet. And in church and our families, we're not giving answers. Number one reason why kids say they're walking away is intellectual skepticism. No one will answer my questions.
Hmm.
And this stuff, all you have to do is have faith. You just need to believe. That's so ridiculous, it's idiotic.
Hmm.
You know what, Kevin? I've got to walk into a doctor's appointment.
Perfect.
Here.
That works for us. Thank you so much for the segment, my friend. I do appreciate you.
I got to turn from being a spiritual doctor to go into a physical medical doctor.
Well, may God be with you, and we'll be praying for your healing.
Hey, thank you for this privilege and opportunity, Kevin.
God bless you, my friend. Good wisdom today from Josh McDowell, who's been on the battle lines for a long time. He's been on the front lines of the evangelistic campaigns since the 1970s. And friends, we are now discussing a new form of apologetics. It used to be evidentialism or presuppositionalism. Now we're talking about an apologetic of an authentic life. As Jesus said, herein men will know that ye are my disciples if ye love one another. Could it be that simple? Could it be that men need to see real life, real love coming from a man who's been touched by the Holy Spirit of God? And that may be the final apologetic that ministers to the millennials who are given to so much apostasy and so much skepticism in our present day. Well, my friends, let's talk about the Gen Xers. Let's talk about the millennials. And we've got a survey right now going on. We encourage people to sign up to that survey, gen2survey.com, available on the web. For those who were raised in the 1980s and 1990s, are 18 to 35 years of age, if you have been part of the Gen X generation or the millennial generation raised in the 1980s, 1990s, you're 18 to 35 years of age, please participate in our Gen2Survey.com, available at Gen2Survey.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.